All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. And we won't go to 2 Kings 14. Well, actually, 15 would be the main passage of the parallel passage. But we're here in 2 Chronicles 26. We're going to read the 23 verses responsively tonight and get a hold of this story on this next king that we're looking at here in the Kings of the Divided Kingdom. So let's stand. If you found it, let's stand and we'll read responsively. I'll begin in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 26, 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur Baal, and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number, fathers of the mighty men of valor, were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears, helmets and habergeons, slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Amen. There it is, the story of King Uzziah. Well, what can we learn from it? Well, let's find out. Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for this evening. Again, we thank you for the Bible. And we understand, Lord, that these stories from your word are for our admonition, for our help, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We do pray tonight that you'd please give us understanding as to why you put this story, this historical account of this king, these specific things in the Bible, and how we can learn from them. As I preach the message I trust you've led me to preach tonight, I ask you to please fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. Lord, we recognize all of us this evening, including this preacher, that without you we can do nothing. We need your help. We need your blessing. And so please, by your Spirit, may we sense your presence. May we have understanding. Teach us the things we need to know. And Lord, I pray that our wills would be submissive to you. And that we would understand what you have for us tonight and yield to whatever it is you want us to yield to this evening. Bless the message. Remove distractions from this room and from our minds tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate your reading tonight. Now, for some time, as you know, on Sunday evenings, we've been looking at the kings of the divided kingdom of Israel. It's really the divided kingdom period. Now, this divided kingdom period is that period in the history of the nation of Israel that began in 975 B.C., after the reigns of King Saul, who reigned for 40 years as their first king, King David, who reigned for 40 years as their second king, and King Solomon, who reigned for 40 years as their third king. After his death, as you know, the nation split into two distinct, independent, sovereign kingdoms. There was, of course, the northern kingdom of Israel, 10 tribes, with its capital city in the city of Samaria. Their first king was King Jeroboam. The southern kingdom of Judah, with its 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, with its capital city in Jerusalem. And their first king, King Rehoboam. Now, Israel would remain in this divided state, if you will, for the next 253 years, from 975 B.C., until 722 B.C., when the northern kingdom would be taken captive by the Assyrian Empire, which was the result of the judgment of God.
Amen.
Because they were not obeying God, and so God, king after king did not, and so God judged them by that captivity, and the northern kingdom was gone. Now, during this time period of 253 years, the northern kingdom would see 19 different kings, begin with Jeroboam and end with Hoshea. They would see 9 different dynasties or families, and all of the kings in the north, of course, you know, were ungodly. The southern kingdom, on the other hand, would see 12 kings, 1 dynasty, all of them would come from the lineage of David, beginning with Rehoboam to Hezekiah, more kings after that in the single kingdom period, but up until that divided kingdom, both of them took place, Hezekiah was the last king there. And some of those kings were godly, some of them were ungodly, some were a little bit of both, if you will. I would call them unstable. Maybe we'd scratch our head as we read their story. I do that quite often with some of these kings in the south. Now, tonight we're looking at Judah's 9th king. Now, it would be their 10th ruler. Some would say their 10th king, if you read some commentaries. But that would mean they would count Queen Athaliah as a ruler. I don't count her as a king. She was a queen. And anyway, I count it as, and many do, Judah's 9th king. And again, his name is King Azariah or King Uzziah. Now, it says Uzziah in our text, but in other places, 2 Kings in particular, they call him Azariah. More about that maybe in a moment. Now, King Uzziah's story is found in two places. If you want to read about him, you're doing a study on his life. This is kind of how I study the king's life. I look at all the times or names in the Bible and their story. I read both accounts and come up with the story. But you'd find a brief account of his life in 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Just 7 verses. If you go to 2 Kings 14 at the end, his name is introduced, but not a lot about his life. And then 7 verses about his life. But here in 2 Chronicles 26, we find a more detailed account of his life. Of course, it's the entire chapter. Now, King Uzziah would be considered, in my opinion, one of those unstable kings. And I say that because he did very good, as we just read, in the early portion of his reign. He did great. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But he ended terribly bad, as we read tonight as well, if you were kind of paying attention to the reading. Now, we read the summary verses. Every king, I always try to look for that summary verse. And God gives us the summary verse of each king. And we find his summary verse here in verse 4 of chapter 26. And it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did." That's interesting, because his father didn't do well at the end either. But anyway, now that sounds not too bad. Really much better than what we read. If we read the summary verse of his life in 2 Kings, here's what it sounds like in verse 3. "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places, and the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house." So that kind of gives us a better idea of the kind of king that he was. He started out good, but he ended bad. And the reason that he did good at the beginning and bad at the end is really found in 2 Chronicles 26:5. I love this verse when I read it. I think somebody said amen. Of course, Brother Strong would say anyway, but other people said amen too. But I would amen it too, right next to him. Notice verse 5, "And he saw it in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God." Here it is. "And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper."
Amen.
That's so simple, isn't it?
Right.
It's really simple.
Good.
As long as he sought God,
amen,
God blessed him.
Right.
When he didn't see God, God didn't bless him. Boy, the Christian life is so simple, isn't it? There it is. It's right there for us. And I get to preach about that tonight. And so tonight, I'm going to preach on this. Here's the title. How to ensure the blessings of God.
Amen.
How to ensure them.
Right.
Continue to seek the Lord, right?
Lord.
You know, all of us should desire to have the blessings of God.
Amen.
We really, it's not a sin to want God's blessings. It's not wrong to desire God to bless us. We should desire His blessings. We should desire that abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ promised in John 10:10. We should desire to prosper and succeed in God's eyes, not the Joel Osteen type. Well, you're going to be rich if you're a Christian. No, but prosper and succeed in the eyes of God.
Amen.
And by the way, it is possible.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I don't believe it. Well, then you don't believe the Bible.
Right.
Because it is possible. Now, again, that doesn't mean that life is not going to have trials. It is going to have trials. It doesn't mean that we stop living in a sin-cursed world, because we do. We're going to have difficulties and all of that. But that, by the way, that's a part of God's plan. That's a part of God building us. But it is possible for you and me to live in such a way that procures the blessings of God. I hope you believe that tonight. Now, I like verses that assure me of that. For example, Joshua 1:8, right? "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God says, if you meditate in His book and you do what God says, your way will be prosperous and you will have good success. That's Bible, by the way. It's Bible.
Amen.
Speaking of the blessed man in Psalm 1, I won't read the whole thing. We could quote verses 1 through 3, but verse 3 says, "And he, the blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Very good. Half of you got that one. All right. And by the way, that's the lesson of the life of Uzziah. It's really that simple. As long as he sought God, God made him to prosper. So let's talk about that tonight. Number one, let's consider as we look at his life, the blessings Uzziah experienced. Now, it's interesting because as this passage begins, as typically God does this, he gives us some biographical details about King Uzziah. We learned from both 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles that he's called by two names. He's called by Azariah, which means helped by Jehovah, but then he's also called Uzziah, which means strength of Jehovah. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Well, here's the answer. I don't know. I have no idea. The only logical thing I could come up with is, I don't know if you noticed in our reading, but the priest, in verse 17, notice the priest's name is Azariah as well. So maybe it's used to make it easy for us to distinguish between Uzziah and Azariah, or Azariah the king and Azariah the priest, and they call him Uzziah. But whatever the case, if you go to 2 Kings, he's called Azariah and Uzziah sometimes. Here in 2 Chronicles 26, he's only called Uzziah. But we learn that from the record of his life. His father's name was Amaziah, King Amaziah. Won't get into him. If you were here Sunday night, you should at least think a little bit, remember a little bit about his story. His father reigned for 29 years. We read that his mother's name in verse 3 was Jechaliah. And notice he was 16 years old when he began to reign. It's believed that he was actually for a time co-regent with his father, King Amaziah. That's a whole other story. But we do know that he reigned for 52 years. Second longest reign. Manasseh reigned for 55 years. But they say that was a broken reign. That his reign of 52 years was the most continuous. But it's a very, very long reign. But it's quite obvious after we go through those biographical details, that from our passage from there on, verse 6 on, we see that Uzziah's reign, at least at the beginning here, was greatly blessed of God. I think God is showing us here, look, this is what I can do if you seek me. This is what I want to do if you do the right thing. And so let's see two things about his blessings. Number one is the record of his blessings. Now, notice as we read through, and I'm going to read this a little bit more later. We read it once, and I'll kind of pick through it here. But Uzziah was not just blessed in one area of his life. Uzziah was blessed in many areas of his life. We might even say in every area of his life. That's what we see. Now, notice God blesses him in seven areas. You say, "Oh, boy, it's going to be a long message." That's all right. Hang on. I'm going to go really quick, all right? Notice the first one, verses 6 and 7. "And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gur Baal and the Mehunim." So notice God blessed him in his confrontations. In all the battles that he fought, God blessed Uzziah. Notice that God gave him victories over the Philistines. He gave him victories over the Arabians and a group called the Mehumims, which I believe is from a group down by Egypt, because that Mims at the end typically here has to do with Egypt. But my point is this, Uzziah was blessed in his confrontations. Amen. But then I notice, secondly, he was blessed in his relations. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at verse 8. "And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah." Right. They gave gifts. So I'm sitting here, the Ammonites, they were enemies of Israel quite often. Yes. And so imagine the very enemies of Judah, that lived on the east side of Jordan, they gave gifts to Uzziah. So God caused his enemies to be at peace with him. He helped him with those relations. So he helps him with his confrontations. He helps and he blesses him in his relations.
Right.
He also blesses him in his reputation.
Right.
Look at verse 8. And his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. And so people were talking about Uzziah, not in a bad way, in a good way. His reputation among the people was wonderful. They were talking about the wonderful things that Uzziah did. His name was spoken of for good. God bless his reputation.
Amen.
I see a fourth thing. I told you it'd be fast, didn't I? Anyway, his confrontations, his relations, his reputation, then in his production. Look what happens here. Moreover, verses 9 and 10, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate. By the way, those towers were broken down by the northern kingdom in the days of his father. If you remember, I believe it was Jehoahash went in and kidnapped Amaziah and the people and broke the gates down. Now his son is building them back up. He built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall. Notice, and fortified them. He built towers in the desert and digged many wells. So notice, as he's building things, his production, God is blessing that. Imagine that. He rebuilt these towers. He built towers in the desert. Notice he's digging many wells in verse 10. So he blesses as he's working and building things for God.
Amen.
He blessed him also, fifthly, in his possessions. Boy, God blessed him with a lot of stuff. Look at verse 10 as well. He had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry. So notice, God blessed him with cattle. God blessed him with crops. He had farms all over the place. He loved farming. He loved husbandry. That's just the kind of guy he was. He had farms in the plains. He had farms in the valleys. He even had farms in the mountains. God blessed his possessions. Then I notice a sixth thing in verse 11. God blessed his protections. Well, here's what I mean, his protection. Notice what he does here. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel the scribe and Maaseiah the ruler under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. Look at this. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. So notice what happens. God's blessing his army. He has a great host of fighting men. Again, 2,600 men of mighty men of valor, as it's named in the Bible. An army that numbers over 307,000. His army was equipped with shields and spears and helmets and habergeons. I'm not sure if that's how you say it, but armor. They had bows. They had slings to cast stones. They had everything. He had a great military built up. Why is that? Because God was blessing him. There's one last thing also. Again, his confrontations and his relations, his reputation, his production, his possessions, his protection. Then also in his innovation. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's interesting, and again, this is kind of a little bit of a mystery, but it's really neat. It says, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, and his name was spread far abroad. And so notice, God gave Judah innovative ideas. They had the latest advanced weaponry. Some believe, and I do, that this is talking about the invention of a catapult. That's what it sounds like, and it looks like these great big things that they put in the bulwarks and there on the walls that would shoot out these big stones and shoot out these big arrows, large arrows from those towers and so forth. And notice that God blessed this man in all kinds of ways. Man, he was enjoying the blessings of God. We could say that Uzziah was a very blessed man. And notice how that whole list concludes in verse 15. For he was marvelously helped. In other words, God is making something clear here. That it wasn't because of his ingenuity. It wasn't because of his strength. It wasn't because of his education, his position, or his mind. The reason that Uzziah had these grand achievements was because God helped him. God blessed him because he was seeking the Lord. I got a little bit ahead of myself there. But that is the record of his blessings. But then I noticed the reason for his blessings. Well, why did God bless him? We'll go back to verse 5, and that's really the crux of this whole sermon. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper.
Amen.
Well, God tells us right at the onset, right before he gives us that list of his blessings, he says, the reason he was blessed is because Uzziah sought the Lord. As long as he sought God, God blessed him. So what does that mean? What does it mean to seek the Lord? Well, I think it's important to know what that means. To seek the Lord means this. It means to pursue God.
Amen.
It means to seek His presence. It means to seek His face. It means this. When we are seeking God, here's what we're doing. When we are seeking God, we are looking to Him for our guidance. We are looking to Him for instruction. We are looking to Him for direction in life. We are walking with Him. We are following Him. We are obeying Him. We are making Him and His Word preeminent in our lives. All of that I just said a moment ago is included in seeking God. And God says, as long as he did that,
amen,
as long as he pursued me, as long as he recognized me as the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, God said, I made him to prosper. And here's the list to show you what I did for him.
Right.
Now, that shouldn't surprise us. It really shouldn't.
Amen.
Because didn't God promise that to Israel? It absolutely did. You know, sometimes we don't make the connection between our spiritual life and the physical things that are going on around us. In other words, we kind of don't make that connection. And we think, I'm not going to church and I'm not reading my Bible and I'm not praying and my life's falling apart. And I just don't understand why. Well, I'll tell you why.
Amen.
Because you're not seeking God.
Right.
And when my life falls apart, it's because I ain't seeking God.
Right.
I'm not seeking the Lord. Now go over to Deuteronomy 28. I'm going to show you what God said. God said this to them. Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, by the way, that we might as well put next to that, if you seek him, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations, above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, that's children, and the fruit of thy ground, that's your farms and your crops, and the fruit of thy cattle, that means they're gonna reproduce, and the increase of thy kind, you're gonna get more and more cattle, more kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, you're gonna get more and more, I'm gonna bless you with that. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, I'm gonna make things last longer, they're gonna be preserved longer, that will be blessed. Verse 6, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall call thine enemies and rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Well, no wonder he blessed them. Because Uzziah sought God. Well, preacher, that's Old Testament stuff. That's Old Testament Israel. And that's what he's talking to about. Wait a minute here. I believe that principle applies to all of God's children as well. Don't we read in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him? That's what God says. I'll take care of your enemies if your ways please me. Psalm 1:1, I said this already, but I think it's worth quoting here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is a promise to you. And to me, if we seek God, He'll bless us.
Amen.
He'll bless our lives. He'll bless our homes. He'll bless our marriages.
Amen.
He'll bless our jobs, our businesses. He'll bless our ministries. He'll bless our effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll bless our teaching and our preaching as long as we make it a priority to seek Him. Do you believe that?
That's good.
There's a connection here.
Right.
By the way, we can't truly seek the Lord if we're not saved.
Amen.
You have to be saved to know the Lord if you're going to seek Him, because that's just the foundation of the Christian life is salvation. You know, no wonder the Lord said this in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, the problem is we don't make a priority of seeking God.
Amen.
We have our priorities. Oh, I got a busy day, preacher. I got a busy schedule. I got stuff to do. You know, I got kids to raise. I got a full house. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we place seeking God on the back burner. Or we sprinkle a little bit of something of Him in our life. And we wonder, I just don't know why I can't get life together. I just can't figure it out. Well, as long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. You know, that'll solve a lot of counseling sessions right there. I mean, I can finish them in one sentence. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. So see you later. Go seek the Lord and God will work things out for you. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's what we're to do. Number one priority, seek God. Set our affection on things above. And not on this junk in this world. And as long as we seek the Lord, God will make us to prosper. So let me ask you tonight before I move on to my next point. Are you making it, am I making it a priority to seek God? Is that your priority? Or are you trying to receive God's blessings without seeking Him? It'll never happen.
Amen.
It'll never happen.
Amen.
You want His blessings?
Amen.
Seek God.
Amen.
So we see number one, the blessings Uzziah experienced. But then we see number two, the blunder Uzziah executed or made. Notice that the whole thing changes here. In verse 15, you read it, we read it together, you saw it. And his name, notice verse 15, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Boy, I hate these next four words. Till he was strong. You know what I mean by that.
Right.
Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Notice what he does here. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. Boy, that takes a bold man to do this.
Right.
To the king.
Right.
It appertaineth not unto thee. Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God.
Right.
Notice verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth,
right,
and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he wasn't stopping, he wasn't listening to them. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. So notice what happens. He makes a huge mistake. Understand, this is a turning point in his life. It's a mistake that will alter the course of his life.
Amen.
It is a mistake that will change the direction of his life and cause this man to have a miserable ending. And all the good that he did, all the things wonderful that he did there in Judah at the beginning would be forgotten, would be nullified because of what he did.
Right. Amen.
Well, let's look at what happened here. What exactly is going on? Well, you see, he did this and it was wrong. Well, let's take it apart here for a minute and go a little bit deeper. Let's look at two things about his blunder that he made. Number one, I want you to consider the root of his blunder.
Amen.
Notice we read, it starts with the root. Notice it says, his heart, verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up.
Amen.
To destruction. God takes us right to the root of it. He goes beyond the action, and he goes, okay, here's the problem. You see, all of our actions have a root cause. They have a source. There's a spring from which we can trace our actions back to. And as you see what Uzziah did, and you trace his actions back to the spring, to the root, to the source, we find that the root of Uzziah's action was pride.
Right.
Pride. You see, here's what happens. When we stop seeking God,
right.
Guess what enters in?
Preach. Amen.
Pride.
Right.
Pride. Our heart, should I say hearts, get lifted up. Now, I want you to think of it for a moment. When I read this story, I immediately think of Nebuchadnezzar and what he did when he walked out and saw all this stuff. I mean, I can just see Uzziah after all those things, his army, all of that. When Uzziah was sitting there and pondering all the battles that he won against those enemies, the Philistines and the Arabians, the enemies that were subdued to him, when he looks out at all the great structures that he built, the towers on the wall and the wall rebuilt and the glory of it all. And he looks out and he sees all the cattle and the lands that he amassed. And then he looks out and he sees all the soldiers going through the routines of the training of being a soldier. And he sees this great 300,000 man army. And then he looks over at this catapult that's on the wall and he thinks, boy, no one else in the entire world has this thing. When he looks at all that he did,
right.
He gets proud. Right. His heart gets lifted up. He becomes haughty. He becomes puffed up. He becomes conceited. He becomes in love with himself. And it's going to destroy him. You know, Romans 12:3 gives us all a warning.
Amen.
It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think,
Amen.
But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith."
Amen.
What causes us to stop seeking God and then in turn brings forth pride? Well, really the most common thing is success. Success. When we experience perhaps material prosperity, maybe financial prosperity, maybe we've been given a title or a position of leadership at work or in the church, you get a promotion, Maybe you accomplish something, or maybe you perform well and you sing well, or you play well, or maybe you graduate from school and you attain knowledge. When that success comes, beware. We know that from the Bible. This was in another one of the Kings we looked at not long ago. Beware, because you stop seeking God because you think you don't need God anymore, and pride creeps in.
God help us. Amen.
Look what I did. Look how good I am. Look at the crowds I preach to. Look at the people that are listening. Look at what I did. All that. Beware of pride.
Amen.
You know, strewn across the pages of Scripture are striking and solemn evidences of heaven's hatred of human pride.
Amen.
God hates it.
Right.
And man's fall because of it. I mean, over and over we see the root of pride has caused the fall of many. Think of Lucifer.
Right.
Think of Eve.
Amen.
Think of Pharaoh. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. Think of King Saul. Think of Jonah and many, many more. Pride has slain many of people. And by the way, even many of God's people.
Amen.
Who once seemed to have it all together.
Right.
But fell.
Right.
Because of pride. You know, it's no wonder that pride heads the list of what has often been referred to as the seven deadly sins in Proverbs. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Number one on the list is a proud look. James 4:6 says this, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Again, the root of Uzziah's blunder was pride. And pride was the result of him stopping to seek the Lord. So we see the root of his blunder. But then I notice the fruit of his blunder. You know, perhaps the best way to identify pride is to look at its fruit.
Right.
I think because most of us would say, well, I'm not that. Well, let's see. Let's see. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits.
Amen.
So maybe we should look at what happened, what he did now.
Right.
So we can say, well, I guess maybe I got an issue with pride. I want us to notice how his pride was manifested. I think there were two glaring things that we see that show that he stopped seeking God and pride was in his life. Number one, I thought, was this in verse 16. He became uncontrollable.
Right.
Look what happens here. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And so notice, Uzziah thought, watch this, this is what pride does. He thought he was above the law.
Right. That's right.
He thought, well, that's not for me. That's for you guys. But not for me. He thought he could do whatever he wanted to do. You see what he did? He goes into the holy place of the temple, not the holy of holies, but the altar of incense, which is in the holy place. And he burns incense upon the altar of incense, which was, as we know, explicitly forbidden by God. It was forbidden by the law. I won't go back there and read the verses. Look them up yourself. Exodus 30 and verse 7 and 8. Numbers 16:40. Numbers 18:7. God said, only the high priest does that. Nobody else.
Amen. Right.
But Uzziah thought, well, I'm the king. I'm the king.
Right.
I can do whatever I want. No, you can't.
Amen.
By the way, no matter what position you have, no matter high up in the food chain you are of leadership, nobody's above the law.
Amen.
Nobody is. Nobody at all. Nobody is exempt from God's commands.
Right.
Well, the preacher, you don't know. I'm not exempt. None of us are.
Yes.
In fact, the higher you go, the higher standard you have, and the more harsh God is on us. Everybody has the same standard, but the higher you are, the more people you influence.
Amen.
None of us are above the law, but he felt he was uncontrollable.
Right.
That's the fruit of pride.
Amen.
You see, prideful people don't think that the preaching pertains to them. I don't know who he's talking about. Oh, it's a shame so-and-so wasn't here tonight. This would have been a good one for them. Do you ever think this is for you tonight?
Amen. Right.
And for me, by the way. For me as well. You see, prideful people, they don't think they have to be faithful to church. They don't think that they have to give a love offering or go soul winning. They don't think they don't have to go to the altar. That's for those new Christians, you know, the altar. You know, I know that I'm sorry. That's what the prideful person does. They don't say they're sorry. They don't admit that they're wrong. Others have to, but not them. And by the way, they always have an excuse why the rules don't apply to them. What's the problem there? Pride. Pride. They've been saved a long time, maybe. I've heard all this before. Be careful.
God help us.
Be careful.
Amen.
I've been members of this church for decades. Be careful. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm on staff. I'm a deacon. I teach a Sunday school class. Okay, it's God's word still applies to you,
amen.
And it still applies to me.
You
see, the mark of pride here, he stopped seeking God. Pride comes out, and it's evident in the way he was. You couldn't control this man.
Right.
He's going to do what he wants to do.
Amen.
But then I saw a second thing. Not only did he become uncontrollable, he was uncorrectable. So, you heard the story. Azariah, verse 17, the priest went in after him.
Amen.
Here he goes in. Thank God for Azariah the priest. Thank God for men that stand up and say what's right.
Amen.
And stand up for the truth.
Right.
And that say things about the Easter Bunny. I'm just kidding. Yeah, sorry I messed you all up this morning. But he went in. And notice, he had 80 of them, 80 priests that were valiant men. They withstood Uzziah. They said, listen, this appertains not to you, Uzziah. You're not supposed to do this. It's only for the priests, for the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to do this. Get out of here. That's what they said. Not in those words. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. God's not going to honor this. He didn't turn around and say, oh, I am so sorry.
Right.
You know, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I just, you know, I wasn't thinking right. I know what the Bible says. I know that you're supposed to be and not me. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And I'm out of here. And I'm going to ask God to forgive me. No, that would have been the best thing that could have happened.
Amen.
But he gets mad. He doesn't listen. Why is that? Because prideful people are uncorrectable. They're unteachable. And even at times, unapproachable. You see, prideful people have a beam moat problem. You say, what do you mean by that? I think you know exactly what I mean. Matthew chapter 7, since we're talking about it and we're enjoying this so much. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. What did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Judge not that ye be not judged. Now, he's not saying, I hate to go on a rabbit trail. He's not saying not to judge here. He's saying don't judge in a way you don't judge yourself. That's what he's saying. Don't hold them to a higher standard than yourself. Because later Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. That's what we're to do. I had to say that. Verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, that explains what I just said, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Here it is. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? You know, that means a little like a, as some have said, a little stick or toothpick, whatever. But considerest not thou the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye.
Right.
That's pride, by the way.
Amen.
It's someone that they clearly see problems in other people's lives. They clearly see the sins that other people are committing, but they're blind to their own problems. They're blind to their own sins. And they're uncorrectable.
Right.
Dr. S.M. Davis, who was here last week, I don't know if you all get his, he sends out something once in a while. And every few weeks, just a little kind of thought or devotion or something like that. And he sent one out that I read that just came this week and after he was here. And it was very good. And it was about this very subject. I said, this won't fit right in my sermon. So thank you, Brother Davis, again. But here's what he said. He said this. He said, quote, any of us are able to have a blind spot and not know it.
Right.
By the way, we all do.
Amen.
I know you see my blind spots. I don't see them, so pray for me. I don't see them. And vice versa. I see yours, but you don't see them, so we pray for one another. We all have them.
Right.
We just don't see them. That's my part. This is his. All of us are able to have a blind spot and not know it. That is why it is important to be humble, to listen to and receive correction whenever and however it comes.
Right.
But Uzziah didn't want that correction. No. He got mad. Why is that? Pride. Prideful people are uncorrectable. And they're uncontrollable. So I ask you tonight, looking at the fruit of pride, could you trace maybe things in your life back to the fact that there may be a pride problem? So here if you are, if you're uncorrectable, you're unteachable, you're unapproachable like that, the problem is pride.
Amen.
And the problem, right. What brings forth pride is you're not seeking God.
Amen.
You're not walking with God. Because when you're walking with God, you're seeking the Lord, you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're sensitive to things, that's how you get victory over pride.
Amen.
Because when you start down the road of pride, the Spirit of God, as you're walking with Him, says, you better stop that. You better not do that. This was the blunder that Uzziah executed. But then it doesn't end well. Number three, and we're done here. Not only the blessings Uzziah experienced, the blunder Uzziah executed, notice the blemish of Uzziah's exit. You see what I mean by that? He doesn't end well.
Right.
He wouldn't change. He refused to change. That's sad, isn't it? God help me and all of us. If we get to the place where we think we've arrived, we think we can't be taught, we can't be corrected, something is very wrong. We're not going to end well if that's the case. We need to take correction. We need to take it when someone reproves us. But Uzziah would not change. He wouldn't admit he was wrong. He wouldn't repent of his pride. He wouldn't get his heart right with God and with people. And it cost him. You know why? Because God does not let anybody get by with pride.
Amen.
He doesn't.
Right.
Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Notice what Uzziah's pride, this is how he ended. It resulted in two things. Number one is leprosy.
Right.
Let's read it, verse 19 and 20. And then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Can you imagine being there and just watching the leprosy in his body just kind of inch its way right up his body into his forehead? I mean, if I were one of those priests, I would have been like, I would have been the fear of God. I mean, can you imagine that? Oh, my word. What is going on here? God strikes this man with leprosy. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death.
Right.
So notice how this man ends. I mean, imagine all that he did. And because of his pride now, he gets struck with leprosy. He would remain a leper for the rest of his life. You know what they did with lepers in that day? They isolated them from the people. And he ended up dying all alone.
Right. Amen.
Sad.
Lord have mercy.
All by himself.
Right.
By the way, that's what pride does.
Right. Amen.
No one wants to be around someone who's prideful. You know, that someone that you can't talk to, you can't correct them. They're always right. They always talk about themselves, how good they are, how wonderful they are, how much they've done. Nobody wants to be around that. And that's what pride does. It isolates us. It calls for, beckons a lonely life. Well, I don't have any friends. Well, maybe pride's the problem. Maybe they're tired of hearing about yourself. Why don't you be a friend instead of trying to get, you know, patting yourself on the back? So we see his leprosy. There's another thing I see, and that is his legacy. Interesting thing happens here, and we're done. Look at verse 22. Now, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, the first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. That's interesting.
Right.
For Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Now let me just explain this. I'll try to do this in the next minute here. The prophets during the 52-year reign of Uzziah, if you look at who they are, there's basically three major ones. There's Hosea, but he's to the north. He's to the northern kingdom. Amos, who's to the north as well. But then there's Isaiah. Isaiah's to the south. And if we were to go to Isaiah chapter 1 and see how this thing... You remember Isaiah 6, right? In the year that King Uzziah died, right? And this is before he died. This is the mess that his pride caused. We read in Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Look what he says about him. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against thee.
Amen.
The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. Notice his pride leaked into the nation.
Right.
He wouldn't be corrected, they wouldn't be corrected by God either. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. What a mess it was. That's how his pride, that's the legacy that this man left. And by the way, it goes a little further. If you read closely in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 22, you'd find the wording of it indicates that Uzziah was buried, notice, in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings, for they said he is a leper. Now what's that mean? It means when they buried Uzziah, they had the sepulcher of the kings, and they buried typically the kings in the sepulcher of the kings. But he was a leper, and what they did with him, they didn't want to put him in with the kings, so they buried him, yeah, in the same field of the kings, but in his own sepulcher. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, hey, look at the king's sepulcher. Oh, who's in here? Oh, the king. What's that one over there? Well, that's Uzziah. Well, why is Uzziah here? Well, he didn't finish well.
Amen.
He was started out good, but he was filled with pride.
Yep.
He was seeking God, but he stopped.
Right.
Pride crept in, and God judged him with leprosy. And he died. He never repented. He died. That's the story everybody's going to remember.
Right.
When they look at the sepulcher of the king and go, what's that? What's that? What's the story they're going to remember about you and me?
Amen.
That we sought God all the days of our lives, and as we sought the Lord, God made us to prosper?
Right. Amen.
Well, yeah, my dad was faithful to church for a while. He was a soul winner. He did serve. God was using him and blessing him.
Amen.
But I don't know what happened. He's out of church. Well, he goes here and there. But it's just not the same.
God help us.
Somewhere along the line, he stopped seeking God. His heart became hard. didn't think that God's word applied to him, couldn't be corrected, and he died that way. What a sad legacy.
Amen.
So what's the lesson? It's a lesson we started out with.
Amen.
As long as we seek the Lord, God will make us to prosper.
God help us.
You want to end well? Seek God. Don't stop seeking him.
Right.
Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep walking with him. Because that's where it's all, that's the source of the whole thing.
Amen.
Don't try to think, I'm going to try to make a wonderful life out here on my own. And you just kind of give lip service to God. It's not going to work.
Amen.
It's only as long as we seek God.
Amen.
That God will make us.
Amen.
To prosper. That's how we ensure the blessings of God.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles and difficulties. We will. But God will get us through them.
Amen.
If we seek him.
Praise
That's why I ask tonight.
Amen.
Go to the source.
Right.
Are you seeking him?
Good.
Are you reading your Bible, praying, Amen. Obeying, doing what he wants us to do? Is your heart into this thing?
Praise the Lord.
Because that's the only way
Amen.
You're going to prosper. If you
stop
seeing him, pride will seek in. Will start to come into your life, and it's going to destroy your life.
Amen.
Because that's what it does. God help us all.
Amen.
Let's seek him every day of our lives. Amen.
Right.